Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Throwback Thursday, Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. I'm Bill Baby Tao Schmidt. Appreciate you hanging out. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here. Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, as well as Leap 36, going to join us as he always does. It's a Throwback Thursday with a band that I cannot pronounce. It was a listener campaign. Anthony Mandela is on the other side of the glass, and it should be fun. These usually are even better when I am not in the loop. So, because as the millennial, it all works out. Right now, we're all focused on the Milwaukee Brewers. They start up in 1 hour's time. They take on the San Diego Padres quickly before everything else. Want to get you the starting lineups for that game. Not a de facto on-deck show as we get you ready for the game if you're heading out to Miller Park. Good crowd expected again today. Lucchesi opposite Jordan Lyles for the Crew. They come in three games back of the National League Central Division lead. They are tied with the Chicago Cubs going into play today. Cubs will take on the St. Louis Cardinals later on in the day. The lineup for Craig Counsell's Crew leading off in center field, it's Lorenzo Cain. Keston Hira will hit second, play second base. Mike Moustakas, the three-hole hitter, hitting third. Ryan Braun, the left fielder, cleaning up. It'll be Tyler Austin hitting fifth and manning first base. Hernan Perez out in right field hitting sixth. Manny Pena catching. Orlando Arcia at shortstop. And Jordan Lyles on the mound for the Crew. It's amazing what a change of scenery has done for Jordan Lyles here in 2019. He was 1-6 with a 9.57 ERA in Pittsburgh. Opponents were hitting almost 350 on him. And in his nine starts here in Milwaukee, the team is 8-1. Opponents are hitting .210 against him. Yep. And his ERA is .240, Sparky. I mean, it is just incredible what that pickup for Cody Ponce, a second-round pick who, for all intents and purposes, wasn't going to make it here for the next 2 years. You've went and bought 2.5 months of a pitcher that has helped stabilize you in this run.
Yeah, no doubt. It was a pretty good move. I was surprised when they traded Cody Ponce for the dude that was pretty much horrible the entire time.
And you had traded for last year and let go.
And let go, right. Exactly. Because you didn't think that you could maintain it again. Obviously, Wade Miley, another one that you let go after having a good year last year. And he was having a pretty good year up until recently. But when you look at this Brewers team, and we talk about magic carpet rides and all this other stuff, you have to have certain breaks go your way, right? You have to have things where you go, well, that shouldn't be happening. That probably shouldn't be happening either.
Yeah.
Like, this doesn't make any sense if you look at the back of the baseball card, as Tim Allen would say. This doesn't really stack up. Well, that Drew Pomerantz all of a sudden looks like he's a pretty darn good back-end reliever right now. His fastball up to like 96 the other night or whatever, I guess it was. So that's pretty impressive and what they've been able to do with him. He was a horrible starter at the beginning of the year. Got moved to the bullpen just prior to the Brewers trading for him. And his velocity has increased, I don't know, 2 miles per hour over each of the last couple of months since he's been moved to the bullpen. I think he was averaging like 91.5 or something like that. And now he's up around 95, 96. Pitching out of the pen. So, and again, fastball-wise, he's throwing like 70, 75% fastballs is Drew Pomerantz. Not close to the Josh Hader 85%, mind you. But still, good stuff. And that's really helped the back end of their bullpen. So, he's kind of been a savior for the back end of that bullpen. You talk about Jordan Lyles and what he's meant to that starting rotation. That's been a big deal. And then you talk about some of these other guys that have come up. Black has had some big innings for this team. Your guy, Jackson, has stepped up and pitched well for them in moments as well. A lot of these guys that were not on this roster on opening day have really helped fill voids, and they're not big names. They're really not.
No.
They're just names. I mean, they're just Jackson, nobody knew. Black, nobody knew. No chance. Nobody believed in Jordan Lyles after last year. At least I didn't. And Pomerantz was pretty much given up for dead after the first half of this season.
And it's funny, too, when we look back at Brewers on deck. just because the tickets went on sale a couple of weeks ago. And I was going back through some of the archives and stuff like that of the interviews Tim Allen and I did when we were down at Brewers on Deck, and came across a Corey Spangenberg interview that we had thought was, well, we can delete this, we're not going to see this. And then coming into the middle of August, you see a Corey Spangenberg. We'll get into a little bit more of that at 3 o'clock, into what this run has done and how it compares to ones in the past. But
think about that. If after you did that interview, you brought it back here, and somebody looked you in the eyes and said, Billy, he's going to be key for them making the playoffs this year, you would have said, Stevie, you drank too much. That's
you dipped into the honey, Jack.
Yeah,
a little bit too much, buddy.
You drank too much, Jack. Maybe you should stop. Right. Because nobody would have believed that.
Right.
Nobody would have believed Spangenberg would have been huge for this team down the stretch.
Well, and too, Gary and I, when we were coming back from Arizona, we're sitting here like, if anybody out of these interviews that was the dark horse, nobody would have thought that Travis Shaw would have had the slump this year after we had talked to him in Arizona. Or we thought Corey Ray would have been up here by this time. Instead, it was Trent Grisham, the other first-round pick in the outfield.
We didn't interview.
Since we're kind of going up to Brewers baseball a little bit here, we're not going to talk all Brewers, but since we started off Brewers, we'll talk a couple more minutes on the Brewers, and then we'll get into our first topic, Badgers, Michigan, big game this weekend. Yeah. So stay tuned real quick. Your thoughts, Gary, Travis Shaw, going into this offseason, knowing now that it's been essentially last year and now he's been real bad this year, is that a guy you look at and go, yeah, we're good, put him in at third base and Moustakas doesn't come back? Or, yeah, we're good if Thames doesn't come back, put him in at first base. Do you have any confidence in him going into the offseason?
No, I don't think you're ever good. I think you have to protect yourself.
And that's
what they're going to do.
That's why I think Mike Moustakas is going to get a long-term deal.
Yeah. From the Brewers?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Because of that.
They're going to protect themselves, and then they take it like, okay, if he can give us something, we'll see. Now, if he slumps like he did this year in the first half, he won't be on the team in the second half. They'll give him again until the All-Star break.
That's a good point.
To be bad.
Outside of Triple A, he's been bad all year.
Yeah, because a guy that, you know, Brewers is an organization, we're not in New York, we're not a big market team, and we kind of small-minded thinking. In some ways, we respect more of what a guy gave us and not apt to cut bait with that right away.
Well, and two, you have to, because it's your business model, right?
Yeah.
Like, you have to.
Small market team, so you got to think differently.
Mm-hmm. You have to give Corbin Burns another chance next year because you need for that to work.
Yeah.
You got to give those opportunities.
You
got to
be a little bit more patient.
I've seen him in the bullpen probably 3 or 4 times in the last week.
What was he doing?
Rocking out. I mean, he's got a sweatshirt on, hanging out.
Oh, I like it.
He really, really likes the seeds, as you can notice. He's spitting seeds.
I've got another question.
Yeah.
Back to Gary. And Baby Tosh, too, obviously. Both of you are athletes. Would you want to be doing what they're doing with him right now? So,
who's that?
Corbin Burns. So you flame out of the big league, starter and reliever. You get sent to AAA. You get sent to AA.
Mm-hmm.
You get yanked out of AA because that's not working.
Mm-hmm.
You go to the so-called pitching lab, which, by the way, there was just a piece yesterday about the Cubs, quote, pitching lab and how it's paid off for them. So apparently they have one too. So the Brewers pitching lab. Then you say, we're good. Come back up to the big leagues, Corbin.
Mm-hmm.
And then he doesn't pitch. He's just hanging around the guys and taking up a roster spot, but not contributing.
Mm-hmm.
As an athlete,
mm-hmm.
if you're Corbin Burns, do you like this scenario, or would you rather have just been told, you know, go home, relax, and hang out with your family, and we'll see you in spring training? Or do you prefer coming up but not being a contributor at all?
Yeah, I think that's sports is all about. When you listen to any of these guys and you ask them when they're done playing football or basketball or baseball, you ask them what they miss the most, and they'll say the guys. They miss hanging around the guys. They don't miss the wife. They don't miss the kids. They miss the camaraderie that they have with those guys in that locker room, and all for one and one for all. That's what they miss most.
See, for me, and again, I have not been at your shoes, but for me, I think it would make things worse for me. Knowing that I'm here, you're not going to pitch me. They're winning, but I'm not helping win. They're losing, and you're not letting me help them not lose.
Well,
I mean, for me, mentally, I think that would be a trouble for me.
That's the thing where it goes, now we're building character. You know, we're building character.
Sure.
We're building perseverance. You're building now something inside yourself that you normally wouldn't get. And you're visualizing things now too, like, you know, next year I want to be here. I want to be in this spot. I want to be a part of this. And here's what I need to do. Here's how I need to work. And you're going to give all your all. And you feel great that you can still share in some of the good and the bad with what these guys are going through. And I think it's almost a kind of learning on a job experience for him, because he gets to experience everything. Because if they go to the playoffs, he gets all that experience.
He knows it.
He's in there.
But
he won't be on that roster.
But look at Chase Anderson, right? And Chase Anderson was not on the roster last year.
Correct.
But he was with the team while they went through a playoff run. Mm-hmm. And it's manifested in that clubhouse multiple times already this year, where you lose your position, and in that sense, where some people would expect you to then go fold and say, I want to go and work by myself, get myself back, get back to where I think I can be. Chase Anderson wanted to be there. He then lost the job in spring training when he thought that he was going to be one of the starters. He goes into the bullpen, and he's made 22 starts for the team this year. Like, so it's been proven that if you're here and you're with us, the organization has given chances to those guys that haven't been able to produce before this time, and then have been able to go and be prominent members of it. And when we talked to Chase, that was the one thing he said. He goes, I wanted to be on that roster. I didn't want to miss being on that roster again.
You know, it was so funny, because just once again, I keep mentioning this, but I saw it again last night. George is playing Notre Dame. I think it's a Saturday night.
Saturday,
game.
Yep.
And what's the head coach of Notre Dame?
Brian Kelly.
And they interviewed Brian Kelly once again, and they was talking about Georgia. I think Georgia hadn't won a national championship since, 1980 or something like that, I think. Mm-hmm. Maybe Notre Dame's won one as recently before these guys.
I think Notre Dame was, 83 with Drew Holt or something like that.
Somewhere in there. But he blanket statement, they start talking about then Georgia and then Alabama, and he goes, yeah, but, you know, we know who we are. We just don't have that same business plan. I think the Brewers know who they are as well, and they don't have the same business plans as a lot of the people. I think what the Brewers need to do is what they're doing right now. They need to continue to try to stack success on top of success, and hopefully one day they knock the door down by getting to the World Series. Because as more often you're in this position, this position, even if they don't make it to the playoffs this year, would be successful, because right now they're in the playoff. Right now, they're in a pennant race. Right now, they know how tight your butt cheeks are really going to get. You're back up against the wall. You got to win every single game to get in there. They're in a playoff-type situation right now, whereas I got to do my best, perform at a peak high without Yelich, to try to get into the playoffs.
And they were in the same situation last year.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they've got quite a bit of roster turnover. A lot of these guys on this roster weren't even on this team last year. So
Steve,
they're going through stuff for the first time.
How long you been doing the Brewers? Just think about how bad they've been.
I remember.
I mean, Davey Lopes and them.
Yeah.
You know, just, you know, scrap iron.
But you're talking from a fan perspective, is what you're talking about, having gone through this all this time. These guys weren't on those teams. They didn't have to go through
how
being held that bad.
Yeah, but Mark Antanasio was the owner for some of that time.
Right.
For the rebuild.
But what I'm saying is to be fortunate enough now, because back then, you wouldn't even like thinking about that. I mean, people who would call in and complain now, or they should just lose, or they should just – I mean, that to me, that's just great craziness.
In 2005 was it when they –
success on top of success.
2005 was the year they finally made it to 500, right?
Yeah, I think so.
We're like dancing in the streets.
Yeah.
They're 500. Yeah. Right. Awesome.
But what you don't want to
happen. This year, you finally became over 500 for the first time three consecutive years since 80, 79, and 78.
But what you don't want to happen, I'm going to say this, you don't want the Brewers to turn in, let's say, like the Badgers, to turn in, let's say, like the Packers, in that, like, you're always right there.
But can't finish.
And then you can't finish. You're just always right there. And then I do believe there is some complacency with Packer fans. I do believe there is some complacency with Badger fans. They know they're going to win, like, all the time now. It's like on automatic pilot, 9, 10, 11 wins. Never there, but they know it's that. I think people are happy with it, but there is some sort of complacency built in to those particular fan base. Now, the Bucks are not there yet, but once the Bucks keep, I mean, they're now franchise.
Just wait till December.
They're that same franchise, knocking on the door now.
Just wait till December when we start talking about, just get to the play. Just fast forward to April. Then it'll be good.
It'll
be a lot better.
You can fast forward to April now. Skip the regular season. I'm already there.
You don't want to enjoy the 60 wins again?
Let's just get
58 or whatever
they end
up having.
Get to the playoffs. Let's be healthy and see what happens.
Let's enjoy every one of those wins. And then, like you enjoy every day, you can go over to the Jewelry Center and tell somebody how much you enjoy them.
Yeah, you can. Dean Murray is the owner, guys. Go over and see him right now today. 3 location, 76 in Layton, in the Layton Plaza over there. They have another location, Brookfield, off of Blue Mountain Road, and Tri-City National Bank building right on the second floor. And they got a third location for you folks in Burlington, Wisconsin. Guys, go check my good friend out today, Dean Murray. He's the owner. He's going to give you the best possible deal on a piece of jewelry. You're going to get the most money for your old gold jewelry. Go see him today. That's Dean Murray at the Jewelry Center.
We are going to get into some Badgers football. Jay Kokorowski joins us at 2:48, and Rob Stone of Big Fox Noon Kickoff is going to be in Madison, the Fox kickoff show before the 11 a.m. kick with Michigan and Wisconsin. He joins us at 3:48. But next, it's a huge game on Saturday, yes. Michigan, Wisconsin, 11 versus 14. But the head coaches, which one needs this one more? I got a case for Paul Chryst next when he's Big Show on the Fan. This is In Excess. I was being taught In Excess during the first segment of the show. Throwback Thursday, Wendy's Big Show. Thanks for hanging out. Bill Baby Tal Schmidt, C. Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, former Badger and Packer running back, going to talk some Badgers football against the Michigan Wolverines this weekend at Camp Randall. In Excess, if I'm going to use it in a sentence, if you're out, maybe having some free beer, drinking Beauforting In Excess, always make sure you have a designated driver or another way to get home. That is a good idea, and don't forget to buy one for Billy. Thank you, Chaos. That's a good way to go. While on the subject, before I forget, like I did last week, and I felt very bad about it, nominees for a Throwback Thursday this week. It was a listener campaign for In Excess today. Gary Ellerson is in a shirt and tie today, so that means he gets to go first, because when you dress like you're ready for success, a lot of times success happens. So Gary Ellerson, your nominee for a Throwback Thursday.
Well, let's go with a little. Can we do Michael Jackson?
Michael Jackson.
Can we do Michael Jackson and Jackson 5?
And the Jackson 5. Okay, I like that idea.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5 for Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer.
Jackal.
Jackal. Is that a Halloween band?
No, it's a rock band from the 90s. J-A-C-K-Y-L. For those spelling at home.
Y-L. Okay, that works out for me. Anthony Mandela, other side of the glass, producing the program today, as always.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Man. That's a good one. Earth, Wind, and Fire is definitely one of my favorites. And it's almost no longer September, so we got to make sure that we can capitalize on that. I'm going to go with the Steve Miller Band, and that will rock out. As we will go to Farm Aid this weekend, the Polish Pipe Bomb, Jeff Orlowski in attendance over at Farm Aid out at Alpine Valley. A lot of people are going to be enjoying that. Maybe a little Willie Nelson, some Dave Matthews. Also, Luke Combs, so that's a little bit of a throw-in. You have guys in excess of 70 years old, you see what I did there, Gary, and then guys that are closer to my age, 25, and Luke Combs, performing to help farmers.
Yeah.
Out in Madison, nobody's going to be helping anybody except the offensive line for the Wisconsin Badgers, helping Jonathan Taylor try to pad his resume towards the Heisman Trophy. This is, Gary, the biggest test for Jonathan Taylor in his Heisman candidacy that he's had so far here in 2019. But it's also, more importantly, the biggest test for Paul Chryst and Jack Cohen as the offensive coordinator, play caller, head coach, and quarterback that he is putting his faith in, the third-year player for Jack Cohen over the hotshot young freshman, true freshman, Graham Mertz. This is the first test that Badger offense is going to have against the Michigan defense that is going to be anything but vanilla that they've seen the first 2 weeks.
Yeah, you know, here's what I heard mostly, that Jack Cohen won that job fair and square out of training camp, that he was just better than Mertz. And so it wasn't him and hawing about who's going to win, who's, you know, it was clear that Jack Coyne was the favorite. I think maybe if you err on the side of caution, and we're not there, so we're not practicing, but maybe you think that Mertz may be the better athlete or the better heralded guy, but just couldn't, like, really put it all together. And because you think about Jack Coyne has had, I don't think they let him throw the ball, like, maybe 10 times in that game against Miami last year.
In the Pinstripe Bowl, yep.
But you figure he has some starts. So maybe he knew the system a little bit better than Mertz. And we'll see how this shakes out. Then we hear rumblings that maybe Mertz is going to be redshirted, you know, here after the fourth or fifth game, wherever that rule is. So we'll see how that shakes out. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to be about Jack Coyne. Jack Coyne in this game cannot miss open receivers that have touchdowns. And it is going to happen. They're going to load the box. They're going to stop Jonathan Taylor. Cephas is going to be one-on-one, and all the mother jokers are going to be one-on-one. He cannot miss those balls. And I think if you look at the other side, what's their quarterback at Michigan? I forget the guy.
Shea Patterson.
Patterson is not any better. I mean, so far, he's had a horrible first couple games here. So I think the same thing goes for him.
One of my favorite parts about this game is the two head coaches, Paul Chryst and Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh's salary and record speaks for itself going into the NFL, coming back to Michigan, his alma mater. Two teams that their head coach played at the school, right? Like this is, these are the schools that they wanted to be at. And for Paul Chryst to be the coach of Wisconsin and for Jim Harbaugh to be the coach at Michigan, this is what you play for. And maybe this isn't the number one rivalry on each team's resume, but Gary, I think the programs are in definite different stratospheres, but that is closed in the last few years in terms of recency bias. Like, what Michigan was is no longer what Michigan has been for the last 15, 20 years.
No, they've fallen off. I think it's a great story, though, right? You know, Jim Harbaugh played quarterback at University of Michigan, you know, Bo Schembechler and all that. Paul Chryst, a quarterback at the University of Wisconsin, but didn't play. Then we moved him to tight end, right? I mean, but his dad, his brothers, they're all from Madison, Edgewood, the area over there by the college and high school. So they're ingrained in what the UW is all about. You start asking me who has the most pressure to win this game or who the game mean the most and all that kind of stuff, it's Michigan, not Paul Chryst. It's Jim Harbaugh. Because if Paul Chryst loses this game, they're not going to fire him. If Jim Harbaugh loses this game, he's probably going to be out. Or if he loses another one for sure in the Big Ten, he's going to be out. This is the year that they're pointing to. I don't know why Michigan is, but this is the year they're pointing to. There is no pressure to me on Paul Chryst. Paul Chryst has his job. Whenever he's done, he's
sure.
done. It's all on Jim Harbaugh.
To me, I don't think Paul Chryst has as much to lose as Jim Harbaugh. But what Paul Chryst has to gain in this game continues to rise. Like, where this program could be and the way that they are pacing, where the program continues to pace with guys getting put into the NFL, the wide receiver core, Gary, as you've mentioned, better than it's ever been.
Guys
in the NFL playing lights out. I mean, you have J.J. Watt, a back-to-back defensive player of the year in the NFL, Wisconsin Badger. James White, three-time Super Bowl champion, Wisconsin Badger. Melvin Gordon, and the list goes on and on. Russell Wilson, highest-paid player in the NFL.
Right.
And so where Wisconsin starts to move as one of the more consistent programs, not at the top, but near the top, if Paul Chryst goes through a run where he beats Michigan, beats Michigan State, goes on the road and beats Ohio State, and they get themselves back after a down year, Sparky, it feels to me that Paul Chryst doesn't have what Gary laid out for Jim Harbaugh to lose. He's still going to be beloved in Madison. But what he has to gain across the country is starting to put himself in this program up, not a full tier, but inching closer to a perennial team that you see changing where they have been for years in the past.
Let me ask you a question. What are they going to change? Like, what's their next step, I guess, Billy, is my question for you. What changes? If you say, okay, they're going to change from what they've been in years past, what does that mean?
Where I see them being is somewhat of a sleeping giant. We've known Wisconsin-Madison has been one of the top college
top 25 for a long time.
Long time. They're very, very well known now in the millennial stratosphere of what they do in social media, what they do recruiting their players, what they do recruiting their program. they could be as good as anyone. They don't have the history that other programs do, but they could be as legitimate as anybody in this Midwest territory for college football.
For me, I just don't think you take that next step until you make the college playoffs a couple of times. Once you get in the college playoffs, you know, two times in 3 years, two times in 4 years, something like that, and you are a legitimate top four, top five team consistently, like Alabama, like Clemson, like those schools, Ohio State, then you got something. I don't think beating Michigan does much of anything for anybody nationally. Doing something for somebody is beating Ohio State in the Big Ten championship game at the end of the year. That'll do something for somebody. And then you'll have everybody talking about Wisconsin because then they'll be in the college football playoff at the end of the year. I think that's how things change nationally, perspective-wise, on this Badgers organization. This is a Michigan team that struggled to beat Army, for God's sakes. I mean, I'm not sold on this Michigan program at all being all that good this year, not to this point at least. Now, again, they're running a new offense. They've changed things up, so they're trying to kind of get their feet under themselves while they're trying to figure out how to play the style of offense that they want to play now, because it's a change from what they've played in the past under Jim Harbaugh.
But let me ask you this, Gary, because we compared Wisconsin to like an Auburn-style program a little bit yesterday. Mm-hmm. For who needs this game on Saturday more? Can Wisconsin be the third program in the Big Ten consensusly across the board?
Well, Wisconsin already is.
They're above the Penn States. They're above all those other
teams. Yeah, well, they're above Penn State for sure.
Okay, so Iowa, all of those, we'll be looking at them across the board in the country as the third team in the Big Ten.
I don't know if people do that in the country now, because I think now you get into name recognition. Penn State, no matter what you say that happened there, has a bigger name recognition, good, bad, and different than Wisconsin. But I think if you look at just the Big Ten as a whole, it is always going to be Ohio State and Michigan. And then after that, who is it? I think it's Wisconsin.
I think it's Wisconsin. Yeah. I think it can be entrenched and consistently put.
But I think Penn State is kind of like in a category by itself because it has such great tradition and such great history. But most certainly, I don't know if Penn State has had any more success than what the Badgers have had since they've been in the Big Ten.
That's 20 years? No chance close to Wisconsin.
They haven't. So no chance. But outside looking in, that would be a great course. I would love to do that. I mean, Wisconsin, I would love to do that. Ohio State, Michigan, and then who?
No, I disagree. In the last 20 to 25 years, I bet you it's probably Ohio State, Wisconsin, then Michigan State.
Well, yes, I don't disagree, but I think Michigan has that name.
Because
they have the branding of it.
Right.
So always going to be Ohio State and Michigan.
And I understand Nebraska is
I agree with you,
into the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Like Nebraska's brought got in. Some. They have huge name recognition when you go across the country historical wise. Like there's other programs in the Big Ten, but for what Wisconsin has done and where they look to get to with the talent that they have on that team right now, they could get themselves into, I'm not saying they're going to be a top five perennial program, but a top 15 perennial program, hands down.
Right. No doubt about it. I mean, they are. But I think if you start, and this gets back to our questions that what you're asking me.
Of who needs this game more on
because
Saturday?
Because Michigan's who Michigan is Jim Harbaugh. Not because there's no pressure on Paul Chris to win or lose this game. I mean, it just feels like to me, Steve, and I may be wrong, but it just feels like to me that if he loses it, there's not going to be a lot of pressure on,
I think,
from anybody to fire Paul Chris.
Oh, hell no. No, absolutely not. But with Harbaugh, on the other hand, I think if he doesn't do something this year,
he's
might
be
out.
Gone.
If he doesn't beat Ohio State, he's going to be gone.
And I didn't think that he would ever lose that gig. I thought he'd have that gig as long as he wanted that gig. But his recruiting classes have been great, but he hasn't been able to coach them up.
Now, they bring in the guy that was the Alabama offensive coordinator last year, I believe. And what they want, and that really just hadn't worked out well for them. So I just don't know how they're going to do that. And I mean, they're supposed to try to get guys out in space and do this kind of stuff, but it hadn't worked out.
No, it hasn't. And it really has not manifested into good stuff for Jim Harbaugh at Michigan at all. Mm-hmm. And it makes me very happy. I don't really care for Jim Harbaugh. 414-799-1250. I got a question for Gary Ellerson about the NFL and what a locker room culture can be changed with a decision that could be made tonight. We're going to talk to Jay Kokorowski at 248 here as well. So Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, 1250 AM and the radio.com app. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer is here. He is at the Mecca on Sunday, and you should go watch Denver Green Bay with him.
And I'll tell you what, the Mecca Sports Bar and Grill, unmatched. Unmatched, I tell you, in the state of Wisconsin for where to go watch a game. You're talking about a 42-foot big screen TV, 9 big screen TVs around it, the NFL Sunday ticket. Mm. This bad boy is 3 levels tall. You got outdoor seating on the first level, the third level, plus you got that beer garden outside right there as well if you want to go sit out there. But when we talk about inside, that third level, those luxury boxes that they have up there with big screen TVs. So if you're not a Packer fan, you want to watch the Giants game or Dolphins fans, Dolphins game,
man,
whatever.
I'm so sorry for you.
You can watch those games or just reserve yourself a luxury box. You can do it. Or you can reserve yourself a luxury box. You and 5, 6, 7 of your friends sit in one of those luxury boxes and enjoy the Green Bay game there as well. Then you have the second level, the mezzanine level. I think they're the best seats in the house, looking straight ahead to the wall of TVs with nothing in your way. It's a little like bar ledge with seats that you sit at. You can reserve those seats ahead of time. Always recommend reserving your seats ahead of time. If you don't want to do that and just show up with a couple of buddies and see where you end up, that's fine too. Doors open at 10 a.m. on Sunday. Got the big bar area on the first floor. Got another bar area up on the third floor to go along with that. Prizes, courtesy of Waukesha Sports Cards, are grand prizes at halftime and end of game. This week, we have a Kenny Clark signed mini helmet.
Boom.
And we have a Blake Martinez signed pick. It's all defense.
All right, two guys that are getting big-time extensions this
year. Yeah, buddy. Miller Lite prizing throughout the game. They take care of all the prizing for all of our trivia questions that I ask throughout the game in commercial timeouts. Plus, we play our favorite game called Drinko at halftime. Watch all your favorite sports games at the Mecca, located in the new Pfizer Forum Entertainment District. They have recreated the live in-game experience with state-of-the-art audio-visual equipment that will make you feel like you are there. The centerpiece of the experience, a 42-foot-wide, ultra-high-definition screen. Their menu has been created by a team of talented chefs that elevate sports bar fare to a whole new level. Delicious. Located in the Deer District across from Fiserv Forum. Check them out, themeccamke.com. Themeccamke.com. Reserve your seats today.
Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM. The Fan, Jake Kokorowski from BadgerBlitz.com, joins us at 248. I got a question for NFL locker room culture, a guy that was in the locker room, Gary Ellerson, next on The Fan.
So slide away and give me a moment. Your moves are so raw. I've got to let you know. I've got to let you know. Something about you, girl, that makes me sweat.
Need You Tonight, Throwback Thursday on the Wendy's Big Show. 414-799-1250 to tweet us for Throwback Thursday. Gary Ellerson went with Michael Jackson and the Jackson 5. Jackal from Steve Sparky Pfeiffer. Earth, Wind, and Fire. Remember, it is September. There by Anthony Mandela. And I went with the Steve Miller Band. Go with one of those or one of your own. Use the hashtag Big Throwback at 105.7 FM The Fan to be entered in, and your nominee have a chance to win for next week's Throwback Thursday here on the Wendy's Big Show. Gary, I got to ask you in this sense right now today. Thursday night football tonight, it's Jaguars and Titans in Jacksonville, and the Jacksonville Jaguars in the midst of a controversy with Jalen Ramsey, and we talked about it a little bit of would you want Jalen Ramsey on the Green Bay Packers? Josina Anderson, your girl, not Pam Oliver, had come
Thank
up
you.
And put out a report today that right now the Minnesota Vikings have made an inquiry, the Seattle Seahawks, Kansas City Chiefs, among others, but it is to her knowledge that just about every team in football has indeed made a call to try to see if Jalen Ramsey would fit on their team. Baltimore Ravens would be another one, which would be a heck of a pairing with Earl Thomas. And the Earl Thomas comparison to me was right. It was obvious. Earl Thomas wanted a deal. He held out all of last training camp, comes back. He had said that if he wasn't going to get signed, he wanted to go somewhere else, that somebody that would sign him to a long-term deal. And then he gets hurt, right? And he was out for all the entirety of the year. With Jalen Ramsey tonight, the headlines and the distraction that he does in the locker room is one thing that I can only ask you about. But first, would you play him tonight if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars?
Well, I probably wouldn't if I want to trade him, but I don't think they're going to get rid of him.
You don't think they're going to be able to get rid of him here before the deadline?
Well, I mean, I don't know. It just feels like if you're playing him tonight, you're not going to move him.
Okay.
Because if I was going to move him, I wouldn't risk injury with him tonight.
It feels to me like a starting pitcher in baseball when you're going up towards the trade deadline. Why would I start him if he can get hurt tonight?
So that's what lets you know you're going to keep him. I think more important, is it Doug Marrone?
Mm-hmm. Doug Marrone.
Marrone?
Mm-hmm.
I think he's on the hot seat.
Absolutely.
Because I think if you go back and look at that whole thing, you saw most of the players kind of going at Marrone in the defense of
Coach, get away from here, man. Get away from the situation. You don't need to be
right.
Here.
And that tells you some things about what's going on in that locker room, or what's not going on, or the hold that coach has on that team. I mean, so something's not right there that we all don't know. Because that was weird the way that happened. And you just try to read in what you can read into, but you just never see guys then jump up and move the coach out of the way.
Especially after the player swings at
right,
the coach.
You know the players is wrong.
Right. Stevie, would you play Jalen Ramsey tonight if you're the Jaguars?
Yeah, of course I would. Why wouldn't I? Because you're worried he's going to get hurt or something?
And then you lose all the value that you have in trading him.
Yeah, I guess. It was brought up whether or not if he played tonight, if, say, the Packers traded for him, could he play then again on Sunday? The NFL has said no, you cannot. So if he plays tonight, he cannot play, come back and play on Sunday for another football team. So if they want to keep value and move him by Sunday, then they can't. They probably shouldn't play him. Because if he plays tonight, my understanding is he can't play Sunday. Mm-hmm. So you pretty much say, well, we're not trading him this weekend because no team's going to. And his value will go down. That'd be one less game that he can play.
And included in the Josina Anderson report is that Jalen Ramsey is told he's fine playing tonight, but that he anticipates not being a member of the Jaguars come next Sunday.
So I mean, I don't know, 10 days
he doesn't expect to be a member of the Jaguars.
I don't know why he's a member of the Jaguars now, to be honest with you. He should have been gone by this point. If they're going to trade him, he should have been gone.
Yes.
Your value isn't going to be higher than it is right now. The longer the season goes on, the more games he doesn't play on another said team, the value is going to go down because they're going to get him for less time.
All these teams right now that are listed in the Josina Anderson report, and this is the latest thing that we have on the trade talks. Kansas City, Baltimore, Minnesota, Oakland, laughable, then Philadelphia and Seattle. I don't want him on any of those teams.
No, you're right.
Don't want him on any of those teams.
No, if you, and especially Seattle.
That defense goes from being okay rebuilding to scary.
They're back to where they were when they were in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. They get him. And we know what Seattle is all about. They'll get rid of players or picks for now. I mean, that's.
And Pete Carroll will love anybody up that he has to.
What's that guy up in Seattle, Steve?
John Schneider.
That's Snyder. That's Snyder's MO. I mean, he's a lot like Dorsey that way. Those guys will go get players. They'll take a chance.
And my favorite part about John Dorsey, when he made the trade for Jadeveon Clowney, he said, hey, we're just going to trade. We'll let you go and be a free agent next year.
Right.
We'll let you go and do your thing. Mm-hmm. We just want just play balls out for us 16 games.
Figure it out
when it comes up.
I get what Steve is saying because in some ways, I like being that way. You know, especially when you got a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers. Let's just go do it. I mean, what does the future hold for us? Who cares? I got Rodgers. I got another quarterback that we got lucky with, another once-in-lifetime player. Let's make it happen. But it feels like right now that the Packers have already gone all in with the
– I would agree.
With the Preston Smith signing, with the Za'Darius Smith signing. It feels like they've gone all in already, as much as they really want to at this point.
And I'm not saying that I don't want Jalen Ramsey on the Green Bay Packers, but I want to see what this cornerback duo can do if they stay healthy. Like, this cornerback duo has a chance to be very, well, very special.
Neither one.
Neither of them is Jalen Ramsey.
No, neither one of those guys.
But they also don't supply the headache of Jalen Ramsey.
No, they don't. That's true.
So, like, in that sense, I just want to see what that get to.
That's true.
Jake Kokorowski of BadgerBlitz.com joins us next, talking Badgers and Michigan. And who needs this game more from his aspect, covering the Wisconsin Badgers every single day? Jake Kokorowski from Badger Blitz and our Badger Insider here on the Wendy's Big Show joins us next. But first, guys, Bofording Beer doing it again tonight. They are giving away free beer. It's at the Cafe Hollander in Tulsa. What?
They're giving away beer. How?
Because you go. This is how it happens. You go, you get to taste the free beer, taste how good it is, and then you're like, okay, now I understand what Billy's been telling me on the big show
for
however
long. Then you go buy your six-pack or whatever.
Then you go buy your six-pack of the Crisp Pills or the Smooth Triple or the Balanced Prune.
Makes sense.
Because people always ask you, hey, is it really as good as you say it is? Yep. And I'm like, no, just go and try it for yourself. They're giving it to you for free. 6 to 8 tonight at Cafe Hollander in Tulsa. You get free you walk up to the bar and you get free Bofording. There's no cash, there's no gimmicks, and you... Tonight, 6 to 8 at Cafe Hollander. That's it. And this is all natural beer, guys, that we drink in the BOF all football season long with three all-natural ingredients. Fresh spring water, the finest barley, and the choicest hops. No artificial flavors, no additives. It's just beer made with a commitment to quality. The Balanced Brewing, tremendous, 7.2. It's a dark beer that tastes tremendous. Smooth Triple Ale or the Crisp Pilsner. It's all made with all-natural ingredients and a commitment to quality. Gives you a crisp, clean finish that you can taste tonight. BOF the bar at Cafe Hollander in Wauwatosa, giving away free beer again tonight, 6 to 8, Cafe Hollander in Wauwatosa. Jake Kokorowski of Badger Blitz talks Badgers in Michigan with us next when he's Big Show on the Fan. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan. Appreciate you hanging out. Jake Kokorowski at BadgerBlitz.com joins us here on the Fan now, talking Badgers in Michigan. I'm Billy B. Tausch, Bill Schmidt, Steve Sparky Pfeiffer's here, and Gary Ellerson for Badger and Packer running back as well. Jake Kokorowski on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Jake, first off, man, Michigan, Wisconsin, this is the first true test for Jack Cohen as the starting quarterback with Paul Chryst. What is the biggest thing that you notice this Michigan defense is going to throw at Jack Cohen that he hasn't seen here in the first 2 weeks?
I think it's just the level of talent from what the upgraded talent, and nothing against South Florida and Central Michigan, but you know what Don Brown's defense can bring. And Jonathan Taylor told me on Monday, just quick defensive linemen, quick linebackers, get that good front seven. And so, and again, nothing against the Bulls or the Chippewas, but this is going to be a different test for Wisconsin's offense. And you've seen the results from what Cohen has done, 76% completion percentage, 5 touchdown passes, averaging over 280 yards per game through the air. But this offense is going to deal with an upgrade. And you see repeatedly throughout the years that Michigan has, they recruit elite talent, top 10, top 20 talent each and every year. And so, you know how Don Brown's one of the best defensive coordinators in the nation. So I think it's just going to be an upgrade in quality of defense. But you see the quickness, some lateral movement, and we'll see just how Wisconsin adapts if they get the ground game going and if they need that passing game like it did a couple weeks ago to really step in and keep the defenses honest.
Are you amazed by how quickly Cephas has really become a part of this offense, just how much better of an offense it is with him?
I always thought that if he would come back, that he would add another element, a different element compared to the other wide receivers. And there are talented receivers that Wisconsin has with A.J. Taylor, Kendrick Pryor, Danny Davis, all provide a little different attributes to the, the passing game. And Taylor, had, which I'm not thinking, had 7 receptions against Central Michigan, and he's been, he had a solid spring in fall camp too. So, but when you go back to Cephas, just he has the ability to create separation that you saw in those 36 and 46 yard touchdown passes against Central Michigan. So I am surprised just how quick he has reasserted himself. I mean, the first completion of the 2019 season was to Quintez Cephas down in Tampa on a third down. And we all wondered, you know, we being the media, just, you know, how quick would he come back after being not being in summer condition with Wisconsin, after, you know, he was training on his own, but there's a difference between training on your own and training, you know, being with teammates and working on chemistry. You know, Wisconsin's wide receivers and quarterbacks, you know, a couple of them told me during the summer they did extra work besides summer conditioning to develop that chemistry. And you've seen that with just how potent Wisconsin's passing game has been. And then you add Cephas to the mix. You didn't know how fast he could adapt back or acclimate back into college football, but he's done it, and he's Wisconsin's leading receiver through two games.
So tell me, how are the Badgers going to win this game?
I think, one, it's cliche, but no turnovers or
right.
Two turnovers. That it all starts with that. You know, Jack Cohn has not thrown an interception yet. They had one fumble in South Florida with the Ferguson fumble after the catch, but it starts off with that. I think Wisconsin needs to generate the run game, and there was some success last year in that blowout loss at the Big House, but they didn't necessarily go to Taylor a lot in that game. But it really, I think, Wisconsin needs to establish the ground game more. It's been bread and butter. You didn't see a lot of it against Central Michigan because of the success of the passing game, and I think the Chippewas really worked to, in my opinion, sell out against the run. And it didn't seem as effective at that ground game. There were a lot of ground, you know, rushing touchdowns, but there were a lot of short yardage touchdowns there. They didn't see as many explosive or chunk plays as you saw against South Florida the week prior. But I think establishing that ground game on that side of the ball. But for the defense, it's creating some pressure on Shea Patterson, who it appears he's getting healthier after having an oblique injury, suffered a couple of weeks ago. But it's also that wide receiver receiving core for Michigan is pretty talented. And we'll see if they get Donovan Peoples-Jones back, who, you know, I talked to a couple people over at our Michigan site. He has said that he's questionable with an ankle sprain. So we'll see if, you know, he's a dynamic receiver. But it's this Wisconsin secondary. It's going to be a big test for them where they have to play, you know, their responsibilities. And it's, you know, the passing game for Michigan right now is about 225 yards per game, 226. So, and that's, you know, that's where they get the majority of their yards right now. I think Wisconsin needs to lock down that area, because right now I'm not necessarily sold on the Wolverines' run game that's averaging under 4 yards per carry.
Jake Okorowski joining us on the Wendy's Big Show here, 105.7 FM, The Fan. You can follow him at Jake KOCO on Twitter. Jake, when you look at this game this weekend, understandably so, the two programs in leveler playing fields than they've been with in the last 50 years, right? Michigan a little bit down, Wisconsin in the last two decades, obviously trending upward. Which coach do you believe needs this game on Saturday more, Jim Harbaugh or Paul Chryst?
I would say Harbaugh, just because of the expectations that were levied on him this season, where a lot of people want him to beat Ohio State. They want him to get to Indianapolis to be the Big Ten East representative in that conference championship game. And both teams obviously want to win. It for Wisconsin, there's, despite the Big Ten West looking shaky right now, you know, getting out of conference play, saw Northwestern struggle against Stanford, Purdue's 1-2 with losses to Nevada and TCU, and Minnesota, needed to escape with three, and they're undefeated, but they had three games where they could be 0-3, honestly, right now. So, but once conference play starts up, it's a whole new game, and, you know, we talked about it at the beginning of the season or even prior to it, just there could be five or six contenders in that Big Ten West. So Wisconsin, you know, they can get this cross-divisional win against Michigan, and they have a very tough schedule, and that's why, in that regard, where you saw Michigan, Michigan State, and Ohio State as those cross-divisional opponents, Wisconsin can win two out of the three of those this season. That could help them get back to Indianapolis as Big Ten West champs. But going back to, you know, what you asked, I think it's Harbaugh just because the expectations are high.
Mm-hmm.
Ohio State right now with Ryan Day as a new head coach. And so this could be the time for them to strike, especially with a new coordinator with Josh Gattis, and them trying to get that scheme rolling, and could be a lot more explosive. So you really haven't seen that through two games for the Wolverines.
Jake, appreciate it, man. Who do you got this Saturday? Michigan number 11 at Wisconsin number 13 in the country.
I'm going Wisconsin. I'm saying 24-17. It's one of those things where I think I have not seen a lot out of Michigan's offense from what I had the chance to watch that Army game. And Army is a good opponent, no matter, you know, they took Oklahoma to overtime last year. But I think just what I've seen out of Wisconsin, it's not just a comfortable win like you saw in 2018, the first two wins of that season. Wisconsin's come out these first two contests in 2019 and really put their foot to the pedal, and it's been impressive. We'll see what they can do, obviously, against this top 15 opponent in the Wolverines, but with it being at home, with the offensive balance showing itself more, having Quinton Cephas back as a wide receiver, right? You know, I think Wisconsin does enough offensively and defensively. I think, you know, there's speed in the secondary. Front seven, I think, holds up, even with Bryson Williams out, the nose tackle. I think Wisconsin gets it done in a tight ball game.
Jake, appreciate it, man. Should be fun on Sunday. They say good teams win, great teams cover. That is a win and cover for the Wisconsin Badgers at 24-17. We'll talk next week, Jake.
Sounds great, guys. Have a great weekend.
That's Jake Kokorowski, BadgerBlitz.com, and the Badger Blitz podcast. Joins us on the Great Midwest Bank hotline. If you're looking to buy, build, renovate, or refinance in 2019, look no further. Call Great Midwest Bank today. Great Midwest Bank, providing simply local common sense lending to your community since 1935. Badgers, a 3.5-point favorite in Madison. On Saturday, an 11 a.m. kickoff, big Fox noon kickoff is in Madison. We'll talk to the host of that, Rob Stone, at 3:48. This is the Wendy's Big Show. Brewers about to start up at Miller Park. The Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show meets the Bill Michaels huddle tonight at Who's on Third on Third Street. You can go see Tim Allen. You'll see Dennis Krause, Gary's good buddy from Spectrum News One. You'll also see Scott Grodzki and Bill Michaels, the big unit out there. So do not miss that. Also, Manny Wilkins, Stevie's boy, with Aaron Jones tomorrow night on the Lodge Kohler kickoff with Bill Michaels up in Green Bay.
Yeah, that'll be on from 6 to 7 here on The Fan, leading you up to the Wendy's Varsity Lit Scoreboard Show with our great high school coverage tomorrow night from 7 to 10.
Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.